Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. It's Tuesday. It's we like to call it Taco Tuesday. We even got a sound effect for that just in case some of y'all want tacos, even though I had mine last night. But hit it, man.
But more importantly, y'all know what today is, right?
It's
outstanding. And that, by the way, pushing the button so ably on the board is JP. How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. How you doing today?
I'm good. We're going to be diving into like a mixed bag here of sports / news.
And it's a fun topic. I've noticed, widespread of going on and everything.
So I hope your camera was on when you just did that. Okay, good. Yeah, absolutely. We got a great show laid on for you today, by the way. Coming up at 3:30, pretty stoked to have him on. All of y'all know Senator Katie Britt, but how many of y'all know her husband? Wesley Britt was an All-American football player at the University of Alabama, went on to play in the NFL with the New England Patriots. And he's going to be on with us to talk about some of the, some of the happy dances going on around the nation with athletes and just how different it feels right now. Anyway, Wesley Britt's coming on at 3:30. And then I got a triple dipper, bar none. Hit it, man.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First out the gate, didn't get to it yesterday, so we'll do it today. Peace through strength. Peace through strength. I mean, listen, the world that President Trump is inheriting from the Biden administration is not quite the same as what he left a few years ago when he was president. It is a lively place right now, and that's even an understatement. We're talking about nuclear threats. We're talking about action between nations in the Middle East. We're talking about any number of things happening around the world that are far and away worse than what they were when he was in office. So number one, I'm going to talk about peace through strength. Y'all stand by for that one. Number two, the victory dance. Oh, yeah. I mean, have you seen? It's like everywhere we look, there are soccer players, there are golfers, there are MMA fighters, there's football players. Everybody's doing the happy dance, the Trump victory dance. We're going to talk about that along with that conversation with Wesley Britt. And then number three on the Triple Dipper in a far more serious discussion, Transmania. Yep, we're going to talk about what is going on with the transgender agenda and how that is impacting our society as a whole. And what do we do about this? And where is it going? And are we going to see any changes? We'll talk about it. Transmania, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, well, let me jump over here to the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll just tell you, in my opinion, we're watching something happen right now that is just really kind of an unexpected byproduct of the hope that the 2024 election has brought. I mean, I don't put my hope in people, but I do know that God allows circumstances. Those circumstances inspire hope, and I think that's where we are right now. So let me ask you this. Have you seen it? I don't know what you call it. I call it the Trump happy dance. Last week when I spoke to a large group of Republicans in Huntsville, the first thing I did at the microphone was just a brief Trump happy dance just to set the tone. But it's viral now. I mean, you see it happening all over. And what's funny is that athletes everywhere are doing the Trump happy dance. It's hilarious. I mean, we've got college and pro football players, MMA fighters, LPGA golfers, professional soccer players, all doing the Trump happy dance when they score, they win, or just celebrating a good moment with their teammates. Right there on the field of play, Trump happy dance. Yeah, we're a far cry from the days of purple-haired activist Megan Rapinoe bullying the members of the women's national soccer team to kneel down at the national anthem. Colin Kaepernick telling the world that he really is a good quarterback and, oh, by the way, doesn't like America and can't stand the fact that he makes millions of dollars in America and wants to kneel down at the flag. You got to know right now that with the Trump happy dance being everywhere, I mean, it's viral, the left is having a complete come apart over this. They can't get rid of it. They have not only been rejected at the polls, but now the world is using a visual reminder of the man they hated and lost to as a symbol of celebration. It's like joy is breaking out. Just be honest with you. It's like joy is breaking out, and I, for one, am loving it. But let's face it, I don't have any illusions there's always going to be complete agreement on the issues. I know there's not. The left and the right don't see eye to eye, and that's just a fact of life. But I also know that we as conservatives have to be willing to lead. There's an old saying that says, if everyone always agrees, then no one's leading. Similar to the one that I remember Margaret Thatcher making when she was Prime Minister of England. She once said, true consensus is the absence of leadership. And she was right. She nailed it. We won't always agree, but we also won't bow down. And that's exactly what progressives want. They want us to not only get on board with their rhetoric, but if we don't agree with it, they want to force us to try and bow down, to kowtow, to make ourselves subservient, to somehow be apologetic for what, actually? For being different? For behaving differently? For daring to think differently than they do? Maybe for thinking conservatively? I mean, literally, the left so often uses subservience as the goal. They demand it. And yet the truth is, they'll never be satisfied with having you on your knees. Never. And speaking of which, do you remember in the not-so-distant past when professional athletes were all kneeling at the national anthem? I found it disgraceful, as did most of America. But in a rush to be faddish and to virtue signal, they were woke enough. Athletes everywhere began to follow NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick by kneeling when the national anthem was played at sporting events. The trend became, unfortunately, viral as overpaid athletes knelt, and then complained when not enough of their own team joined them in kneeling. But there were some who did not. I don't know if you remember a giant of a man named Alejandro Villanueva. Alejandro Villanueva, 6'9", 320 pounds, Villanueva, he played on the offensive line for West Point. After he graduated from the military academy, he went on to serve two tours in Afghanistan as an Army Ranger. He earned a Bronze Star for Valor for saving wounded soldiers under fire while serving with the 75th Ranger Regiment. After his military commitment was over, Villanueva was picked up by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So came the time in 2017 when the sports world believed that kneeling at the anthem was a strong stand. Yeah, kneeling is a stand. How about that? Just before a game against the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field in September of 2017, the entire Steelers team decided to stay in the tunnel and not come out for the national anthem. Only one player came out of the tunnel for the anthem, Alejandro Villanueva. I mean, I'll tell you right now, it caused all kinds of stir. I mean, who are we talking about here? He graduated from West Point. He's a combat veteran, decorated for valor. He wore the flag on his sleeve for years. And now it causes a stir because he comes out of the tunnel for the national anthem? Well, it did so to the point that he actually apologized. And I hated that he did that, but he didn't apologize for standing for the flag. He apologized because he said he didn't mean to embarrass his team as, you know, standing out there and letting them be seen as standing inside the tunnel. But he also said that just before the anthem had played, he had actually told Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger that he needed to step outside to see the anthem played. Look, I think it was built into him. I think he did what he did just because of love of country and service and honor. They were built into him. It was part of who he was. And you know what's funny? As a result of Villanueva doing that, his jersey became the top-selling jersey on the NFL's official store within 24 hours. He didn't know it, but he was leading is what he was doing, just by standing. A few years ago, too, I read a book that was very impactful. It's a true story about a group of people who decided that kneeling was not an option. When society told them they had to bow down, when they had to be subservient, there was a group of men in World War II who said no. The book was titled Defiance. There was a movie by the same name that was made in 2008. It starred Daniel Craig. Great movie. It told the story, the true story, of the Bielski brothers, four Jewish brothers in 1941 who had their parents murdered by Nazis. Society capitulated to the Nazi dogma, demanding that Jews kneel down as subservients, but the Bielskis, they were not having any of it. They escaped to a thick, deep forest where the Nazis did not like to go, and there they began taking in more and more Jewish survivors. And the Bielskis formed what became known as the Bielski Partisans. They fought back. They became such a thorn in the side of the Nazis that they became special targets. But they fought and they dodged capture and they rescued other Jews and they fought some more because they knew that if they knelt before the mob that it would never be enough. There was no good outcome to capitulation. There was no future for those who were willing to give up and give in because kneeling, y'all, is never enough for the mob. In the book Defiance, it goes on to talk about the hardships they faced as they continued to live in the wilderness and to forage and hunt for supplies and fight for their right to live. There were numerous battles and attempted assaults on their forest hideaway. sometimes resulting in having to move everyone and everything to new locations. But the Bielski partisans, they disabled German trains, they blew up rail beds, they destroyed bridges, they facilitated the escape of Jews from the ghettos where the Nazis fenced them in. In the end, the Bielskis and their partisans spent almost 4 years fighting to avoid kneeling. In the forest, they built themselves a hospital, a nursery, a school, and they rescued over 1,200 Jews. Three of the brothers survived the war and later immigrated to the United States. They formed a trucking company in New York City. They never sought recognition for what they did, but it is estimated now that the descendants of the people they saved number in the tens of thousands. It's amazing what can happen when good people choose not to kneel to the mob. So here's the thing. You don't have to kneel. Kneeling's a choice. Subservience is a mindset. And yeah, the left will be mad. Just know that up front. Be aware. If you don't kneel, they're going to be mad. Just accept it. The mob does not like it when kneeling is resisted. If you don't use their pronouns or call them by their new names or rally with them against alleged grievances with their perceptions of American society, they're going to react. They may try to dox your business or call you names or be mean to you on social media because they are so tolerant. But more than likely, what will happen is they'll just complain that you triggered their overly sensitive sensibilities, and they'll shriek into their TikTok videos that cruelty exists in the form of privileged people like you and I who refuse to join their enlightened crusade. Well, just tell them to pound sand and remind them what that great philosopher of freedom and liberty said, that sage of wisdom known as Mark Twain. Twain said this. He said, "Let men label you as they may. If you alone of all the nations decide one way, and that way may be the right way of your convictions, you have done your duty by yourself and by your country. Hold your head up high, for you have nothing to be ashamed of." So I'm just saying, my friends, don't you bend that knee. You go ahead and break out your Trump happy dance. You celebrate the moments and drive the liberals crazy. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it's a hoot to watch. I mean, and I'm loving the fact that the shift is so amazing. Just a few years ago, it was athletes kneeling down at the anthem and rejecting the United States of America, despite the fact that they make their living here. And now we're switching around to where this sense of optimism and hope has got people using the Trump happy dance. Can't get better than that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, I'm talking about saving the world one soundbite at a time. Text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text or to call it, same number for both. By the way, that's also how we get you signed up for the Right Side Report email newsletter daily, the one that tells you everything in advance of the show. Also gives you insights on what podcasts are out and what merch we might be selling and all the things. So if you want the Right Side Report to come to your inbox every day, just text the word newsletter, one word, newsletter, to 833-68-RIGHT, and we'll drop you in. By the way, I talked to Butters earlier, and we are in the thousands right now in the newsletter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
It's like cranking. Cranking, baby. Hey, let me get some of these texts real quick. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee, talking about Alejandro Villanueva, says he didn't embarrass his team. His team embarrassed him and the rest of us veterans. Chuck, I agree. I was really kind of chagrined that he actually said anything at all. I think he should have just let it ride. But it was clear that he was not saying he was embarrassed by the flag. He was not going to get out there and take a knee. He was just sorry his team felt beat up like, oh, man, you went out there and left us hanging. And that's all it was.
Yeah, for somebody who's played sports his whole life, I kind of feel that. I bet he felt bad by him becoming the vocal point and the story instead being, you know. Well, I think he really didn't want to be a story at all. I think he kind of wanted to do it because he felt like he needed to do it, but I think he was upset the story was his teammates didn't come out, you know, instead of, you know.
Well, their choice.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I agree with that, but I think he was just upset that the story became his teammates doing the wrong thing instead of, you know.
I think that would have been the story whether he'd come out or not. It just gave everybody a focal point. Look, he's out there.
Yeah.
I just look back on that time and think, what a misguided set of priorities for people. Yeah. Like somehow lashing out at the national anthem of the United States is going to make everything better. I mean, it's almost like you make a mockery of, I mean, here you are. well, you know, a guy can't get a fair shake in this country. You're making millions of dollars playing sports. Just saying.
And the Colin Kaepernick thing was funny, too, because he acted like he wasn't on a team because of what he did, not because he sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. He's still out there trying once in a while. I was like, dude, you're never coming. Nobody wants you.
Yeah.
Just go away. Bruce from Springville checked in. He says, the liberals are nothing more than Walmart brats pitching their temper tantrums in the middle of the floor. Walmart brats? Why has it got to be Walmart? Why can't it be Target? I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is I get it, and that's a great point. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, stand up and do the Trump dance for the camera. I think I speak for everyone as we want to see that. I'm not afraid. I'll do that right now. I'm just going to. You got to have the hands up slightly when you do that. Like, that's, yeah. I am not afraid.
Everybody go check out the stream right now so you can see it.
There's like an 8-second delay, so you still got time. Holy cow. All right. Allie from Athens says, oh, I'm loving me some Trump happy dancing. And while we dance, we need to make sure that we are bowing our knee to our maker while we continue to fight for his dreams as they pertain to America the Beautiful. Thank you, Allie. Yes, you are indeed correct. Your perspective is solid. Roy from Hartzell says, great monologue, Phil. Loving every great monologue. Watching liberals eat crow makes me think of a song from yesteryear. Loving every minute of it. Yeah, we did that thing yesterday. I don't think I need to start that again because our text lines, there's no telling how many came pouring in. I couldn't even get to them all.
Yeah, I mean, we lost track of where the list started.
We had our own viral moment. I asked everybody yesterday, if you didn't hear it, what classic rock song best describes how you feel since the election and the pending Trump administration? And it went viral.
Yeah. I made a little clip out of some of the a little bit of that segment put up on the social media if people want to go check that out.
Good.
Made a good promo out of it too.
Good.
So
I will go check it out. Did you post it on what, Right Side Media?
On the Right Side Media YouTube, Twitter page. It went up on the Instagram as well if you want to go check that out.
Put that on my personal one later on.
I will.
Cool. All right. Listen, plenty more where that came from. I'm going to sit here and drink my coffee because that is the official drink of Right Side Radio. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one, the one I'm in right now. Don't argue with me. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And based on what we're hearing, it's all over the world right now with people watching online, so that's good. Two more texts, then I'll jump through into the first dipper. John from Brownsboro said, regarding the monologue about not kneeling to the mob, he said, that is truth. To accede to subservience is to accept the ideals of another. To do it without a will of your own or full understanding of their ideals compromises what you believe and stand for. That just undermines you and what America stands for. John, I think I could have given you the monologue for the day, brother. That was good. Brian from Decatur. Brian from Decatur says, not sure about the other people, but ever since the kneeling fiasco in professional sports, I have yet to buy nor will ever buy a Nike product, nor do I allow my children to buy them. Totally get it. Totally understand. Yeah, that was kind of weird how Nike grabbed hold of Colin Kaepernick and made him their, you know, their spokesmodel or whatever he was. How'd that work out for him? They're still around. Nike's still around. He's not. And I'm kind of glad. All right, let's jump on in here. First topic, I'm going to talk about peace through strength. So I got to say, the world that Trump inherited or is inheriting from the Biden administration is not the same one that he left behind. Now, I won't try to be all super glossy and say the world was at peace and it was a fine, fine world and everything was good and there were no bad actors. But it was a lot different than what we're seeing right now. Let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or Democrat, whether you liked Trump or not. You can simply say yes or no to certain questions. Did we have a decent or a growing relationship with North Korea during the Trump administration? The answer would be yes. Did we have the Abraham Accords bringing peace to the Middle Eastern region? The answer is yes. Was Iran launching missiles at Israel? The answer is no. Were the Houthis shooting at American ships and international shipping in international waters? The answer is no. Was Israel at war with Hamas? No. Had Ukraine been invaded by Russia? No. I mean, you can go down the list, y'all. I mean, there were certain things that were happening. China was posturing. Let's be honest. China was already building its little fake islands in the South China Sea, claiming their territorial waters were expanding. And every time they tried to do that, we would send over a carrier strike group and we would do a, you know, a freedom of passage transit, and we would just go right through the Straits of Taiwan. But that being said, it's a lot gamier out there right now. A lot gamier. And it may have just gotten even more gamey. So Trump's about to come in with a brand new team. We got Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Love that. We've got Pete Hegseth coming in as Secretary of Defense. I'm good with that. We got Michael Waltz coming in as National Security Advisor. I am loving that. And then we got J.D. Vance, of course, coming in as the Vice President. The Trump team for international and foreign policy and military strategy is far stronger. And we're also looking at, you know, and the left's having a freak out. Phil, you can't say he's going to be getting rid of generals. Yeah, by God, I can, because some of them need to go. As surely as people like Mitch McConnell needs to go, there are generals that just need to go. If you presided over the wokeness and DEI, if you presided over Afghanistan, you need to go. It's time to move on. It's going to be a whole new day. I believe that we're going to have a better group of people, a team, to handle things than we have right now. That may have been the understatement of the year. But here's some of the things that are happening, just to paint the picture. In fact, which one do I want to go with first? How about this? I'll pick up a piece here from Breitbart. Came out just 2 days ago. So President Biden has apparently now approved the use of long-range American missiles by Ukraine to strike deep within the Russian mainland. Now, let me go back up and say something here. Nobody wants Russia to win. Nobody wants Russia to win. I am not a fan of Putin. I'm not a fan of Russia. I'm not a fan of his open aggression to a neighboring state that was free. Keep in mind, in the Biden and Obama administration, Obama stood idly by while Russia annexed an entire Crimean peninsula. That would be like us waking up one day to find out that, I don't know, Cuba had annexed Florida. Just took it. The warm water ports that Ukraine had, you know, for shipping and everything else went away. Russia annexed Crimean Peninsula. It's a huge area, by the way, huge geographic area. And then, after Trump leaves office, you got Afghanistan debacle. Putin sees he's got a weak foreign policy and presidential national command authority, and he says, let's just go take the rest of Ukraine. Now, the problem that we have is not that we don't want Russia to win. The problem that we have is that the Biden administration has no idea what winning looks like. Here's the plan, according to Biden. This is the Biden plan. You ready? We're in it for the long haul. Write the check. That's the plan. That is not a plan. And so what's happened is now we are at the 1,000th day of a war that never should have happened. And I believe if Trump had been in office, it probably wouldn't have happened. But we have sent billions and billions and billions of dollars over there with no effort at a cogent and cognitively organized plan, a strategic or tactical effort, nothing. All we do is go, how much more money you need? Let's send it to them. Meanwhile, Democrats walk around wearing Ukrainian flags on their lapels. That being said, Putin needs to lose. He does. But now, in the waning days of a feckless administration, what did Joe Biden just do? He escalated the conflict. All right. In an attempt at what may be seen as undermining peace efforts by incoming President Donald Trump, who has already embarked on unofficial diplomatic efforts, Biden has now approved the use of long-range American missiles. Okay, I got to ask a couple things here. Think about it this way. First of all, He approved the use of the missiles. He approved them. Is there an operational planning meeting that I'm not aware that we sit in on? Do we have American generals over there advising Ukrainian generals? He approved? Now, if Russia is going to launch missiles into Kiev, which they are on a regular basis, if Russia is going to be launching missiles in, then I have to wonder, why does it take America to approve? All Biden did was put us on the chopping block. All Biden did was intervene by saying America's name is now boom, rubber stamped on something that is seen as an escalation of force. This is jackassery. And then on top of that, it's the use of long-range American missiles. Keep in mind, the missiles are already there. What did we think was going to happen when we sent them ATACMs, American Army Tactical Missile Systems? When we sent them ATACMs, what did we think was going to happen? Like they would never get used? What? Oh, you could only use them inside Ukraine? That was the plan? We sent them long-range ballistic missiles, and you thought they would never be used outside the borders of Ukraine? Okay, but now there's a rubber stamp on it that says Made in America, and oh, by the way, hey, shoot them as deep into Russia as you need to. Listen to this. Here's a phrase that should give you pause. It says, President Biden has been hesitant to permit the Ukrainians to use ATACMs within Russia for fear of escalating the conflict, with reported concerns over the world's largest nuclear power potentially using more powerful weapons within Ukraine, Moscow increasing assistance to American adversaries such as Iran or the Houthis to disrupt global shipping. Let me get this straight. So President Biden has not done this until now because he didn't want to A, escalate the conflict, B, run the risk of a nuclear confrontation, or C, increase dangers to American shipping and America's allies by Moscow in retaliation funding bad operators around the world. But then he did it anyway. So all those concerns were on the table, and then he did it anyway. So apparently you weren't too concerned. All right, so what's the response? What's Russia doing? Story here, breaking news as of today. Fox News reports Russian President Vladimir Putin has now signed a revised nuclear doctrine. He signed it this week. In the wake of Biden escalating America's posture with regards to long-range weapons into Russia proper, Vladimir Putin now signed a revised nuclear doctrine on Tuesday, stating that any attack on Russia supported by a country with a nuclear power, could be grounds for a nuclear response. Is it posturing? Maybe. Is it considered to be a bargaining chip? Maybe. Is it something that he's using to try to hold over people's heads and, you know, gain leverage in his negotiations or in maybe? Then again, the man's a little crazy. So Putin signed the new policy on the 1,000th day of the war with Ukraine and the day after President Biden authorized the use of long-range missiles that strike inside Russia. The doctrine states that Russia could respond to aggression against its ally Belarus also with nuclear weapons. And he says that it will be done with, quote, uncertainty of scale, time and place of possible use of nuclear deterrent. What does that mean? It means overwhelming and disproportionate force. It means they are not concerned with whether or not there was a massive or not a massive attack on Russian soil, that they will determine whether or not to respond with overwhelming and disproportionate force. The doctrine also now officially states that an attack on Russia by a non-nuclear power with the participation or support of a nuclear power like the U.S. will be seen as a joint attack on the Russian Federation. Nuclear weapons, noting that they could be used in response to an air attack involving ballistic cruise missiles, aircraft, drones, and other flying vehicles. In other words, doesn't matter what kind of attack, doesn't matter. What matters is Russia now is saying, just so you know, we're putting it all on the table. I don't know if they will. I don't know how legit it is. I don't know if he's serious or if he would even turn the key and push the button. But I do know he said he did. And he only said it after Biden escalated in his waning days in office. He escalated a major force-on-force conflict. The biggest force-on-force conflict in Europe since World War II. Let's take a break right now, and then I'm going to switch gears. When we get back, I'll take it a different direction. Let's talk about the Middle East. What did we just find out from Israel about Iran? And then let's get into what's happening at our military academies and where we're headed and why peace through strength is coming under a Trump administration. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. John from Huntsville just texted in. I didn't see his text earlier, but he's feeling left out. I don't know how to describe. John, you are much loved, and this was not an intentional leave out. And he says you ought to create an off-the-bench happy dance for your show on Saturday mornings, man.
It would probably be similar to Trump's happy dance. I mean, you can't get much better than that.
No, just go ahead and stick with what you got, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. John from Brownsboro says, during the Cuban Missile Crisis and Cold War, no shots were fired. With Biden authorizing the use of our ordnance on their soil, that changes the dynamic going forward. Is this a last-ditch effort for him to exert emergency war powers to keep Trump out? I don't think so. I don't think he would do that. Emergency war powers would be a dynamic that, I think right now the Trump team could walk in tomorrow and do a better job than what we're seeing out of the Biden administration. But we're in weird times right now. So while I think that would not happen, I put nothing by them, but I don't think that'll happen. Thomas Mathen says Biden effectively signing his name on multiple MGM 140, 300-kilometer range missiles is essentially spitting in Putin's eye by a failing lame duck president in response to North Korean soldiers being posted there. It brings to mind the quote by Robert Gates regarding Biden foreign policy. The quote, by the way, that Gates was, don't underestimate Biden's ability to blank everything up. He said, but then I went to Polaris's national security site to look at the gasp. Okay, I see it. Yeah, there's a lot of failures. There are. So he brings up a point, North Korea, which, by the way, to my knowledge, has not been an expeditionary force ever, like in the history of ever. North Korea now has 10,000 soldiers that it has sent to the battlefield in Ukraine. Now, I'm hearing through some that they're not doing that great, and I would not expect them to. They're probably the cream of the cream for North Korea, but they're probably also, for the first time in their life, looking at Starlink internet and trying to figure out why they live in a place that doesn't serve Big Macs. But that being said, nonetheless, North Korea sent 10,000 soldiers to aid Russia on the battlefield. I mean, the whole thing is a complete debacle. And I don't, you know, Trump says he's going to have the thing, everything in Ukraine resolved before he takes office. Maybe. I guarantee you there's some threats and some planning. But listen, he's not going to go in there. It's not going to be a matter of, if you don't stop now, we'll put troops on the battlefield and Russia, you'll be facing American boots on the ground. I don't think that. I think you're going to see all of, and you've heard me say it before, the acronym DIME, diplomacy, information or intelligence, military and economic, all of it. You're going to wind up seeing a complete full court press that's going to say, Russia, we're going to deplete your ability to fund life because we're going to put sanctions on you. We're also going to deplete your ability to sell your energy reserves because we're going to undercut you on the world market. And then, oh, by the way, we're also going to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs and we're going to tell them, do what you got to do. But only if there's a strategy or a plan in place. And then he's going to probably look at NATO and say, and we need more of y'all to pile in here because we can't keep doing it for you. It is your war over there. There's a lot to be said about having a concerted peace through strength strategy. Robbie from Montana says he's bluffing. Who's bluffing? Putin, I guess he's talking about Putin. Putin's bluffing. Then again, is Biden bluffing? Does Biden know he signed that, by the way? Hugh from Huntsville says, perhaps Democrats authorized Ukrainian money for more than one reason. Yeah, Biden pay to play. Yeah, I still believe, and I have nothing to prove this. So do not think that I suddenly know something, because I can't say that. My sense of things is that somebody's got something in a drawer in Ukraine that's got a Biden family name attached to it, if you know what I'm saying. And it's going to wind up being like, we need some more aid. We can't send some more. How about those pictures? Right, we'll send some more. I think that's where we've been. What time have I got? Do I have time for a call?
I've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I got a tad of time. Let me grab that call real quick before I go to the break. Kevin from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Is there not a way for Congress or somebody to pass a law or something so that a lame duck president, especially one like Joe Biden, who's been proven that he's not running the country and he's not capable of running the country, from making these decisions that have these kind of ramifications?
Not likely. They would have to invoke the 25th Amendment and have him removed from office. Otherwise, he has the powers of the presidency at his disposal.
Wow, that's crazy that a lame duck president, and after the election, can make these kind of decisions.
I completely agree, man. Hey, that's it. The music's already playing. Kevin, thanks for the call. We'll come right back. I'll wrap this up. I got a few more you might want to know. And oh, by the way, what does it mean to have peace through strength? I'm looking forward to it again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right and we will be back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. We're in the middle of Dipper number one. I call this Peace Through Strength. I got a couple of text messages because I got to clean up and make sure that I don't lose some of y'all, like John from Huntsville, because he was feeling bad, and I did not mean to leave him out.
Don't worry, y'all. Even if Phil doesn't read out your text, I see your text. So you're seen one way or the other.
Seen and much loved. Linda from Madison says, "Hey, Phil, enjoy the show. But what really makes me smile is when you give us the broadcast area. I don't know why. I find that so amusing. I just do." Well, stand by, Linda. I may be modifying that readout. Who knows? It's not even a readout. I just say it. I'm not sure if it's even written down anywhere. It just happens.
No, it is, because whenever I fill it in, I looked at that paper right in front of you to read it out.
I had it written down there, and I've never had to refer to it since. It just flows. But yeah, thank you very much. Clint, by the way, don't give away our secrets. Don't give away our secrets here in the studio. But I don't. Baseball. I don't. But JP can attest, I don't look at the notes when I have to say that.
No, he does not. Yep.
It just happens. But yeah, Linda, just stand by. There might be, I don't know, maybe some announcements in the near future. Clint from Tony says, going back to the monologue, he says, Phil, referring to your monologue, those who are in the public eye and will not stand when appropriate to honor the U.S. were unfortunately not raised by men like my father, who took part in three separate beach assaults in the Pacific Theater in World War II. If they were, they would not even consider such behavior, regardless of their teammates' position. There is a reason those were called the greatest generation. Clint, whew, thank you for your father's service. Thank you very much. Ken from Rimlap says, Phil, as for people, I hope General Milley is at the top of Trump's list of people to go. Yeah. Well, he's already gone. I mean, Milley's gone. But believe it or not, there's actually talk, and I got mixed feelings on this. There's actually talk about recalling, because you can do this. You can recall a retired officer to active duty for the purposes of making them stand for UCMJ punishment. So Trump has floated all kinds of things. You can also, by the way, effectively reduce people's rank even in retirement. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but there needs to be some accountability. And I don't think that the true boots on the ground in Afghanistan need to be assessed for their problems, but I think that the Pentagon does. It absolutely does. There's some upper level leadership that just blew it, and we need to have them held to account. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, since you did the Trump happy dance, you need to give equal time to Joe Biden, do the Joe Biden shuffle and fall up the stairs. No. I decline. Hey, listen, let's look at another part of the world as I finish this up. I'm going to try and get this done before the next break, because I want to switch to a different topic before our guest comes in at the bottom of the hour. By the way, stay tuned. Our guest at the bottom of the hour is Wesley Britt, who is the husband of Senator Katie Britt, but he's a former NFL football player, and we're going to talk to him about some stuff. So anyway, that should be interesting. Peace through strength. Netanyahu has just confirmed something that broke last night on Fox News. Netanyahu has now confirmed Israel has struck Iran. I'm sorry, the Israel strikes against Iran that happened a couple weeks ago did, in fact, hit a part of Iran's nuclear facilities. Netanyahu said it's not a secret, he said in a speech to the Times of Israel. There is a specific component in their nuclear program that was hit in this attack. It had not been previously confirmed, according to news sources. What this basically means is we're looking at Iran, according to the IAEA, is believed to be running pell-mell towards having nuclear weapons, and some aspect of that was just hit by Israel. The world in which we live. Meanwhile, back at home, peace through strength. How do you feel knowing that at the U.S. military academies, which, by the way, are considered Ivy League. You know that? Military academies are considered Ivy League universities.
I actually did not know that.
I didn't either until a few years back. I was reading a book about West Point, and those are considered Ivy League universities. But an English course at the U.S. Naval Academy is teaching officer candidates left-wing theories of gender and sexuality and critical race theory, according to the syllabi that was just obtained by the Daily Caller. Got this piece that I pulled off of the organization that I'm on the National Board of Advisors for called STARS. STARS is determined to root out wokeness in the U.S. military. The course description is HE374, Topics in Gender and Sexuality. It broadens from the second wave of feminism in the 1970s, according to a syllabus, into gender and sexuality studies to include LGBTQ studies, race, class, and concepts informed by critical race theory. This is at your Naval Academy, people. This is at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis. Students begin the class by performing a land acknowledgement. The syllabus shows what's a land acknowledgement. That's when you acknowledge in writing that you understand that you are on land stolen from, you know, native tribes or whatever. A land acknowledgement. Well, that's great. Students also then set the learning outcomes for the course. In the third class period, students create a diversity statement. They learn gender and sexuality vocabulary. Another in-class activity for week three is reading Pan-African Socialist Civil Rights and other works. You've got journal entries on tacit racism due every Wednesday. You've got an exploration of the masculine-feminine binary according to a historical and contemporary discussion of the rejection and empowerment of specific sexual... Blah, 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 blah.
Wah, 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 wah.
Listen, that stuff's going away, man.
It better.
What's your Javier Milei sound effect? Was it?
Afuerte.
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 Afuerte. It's gone. Afuerte. CRT and gender studies at the Naval Academy. Afuerte.
Man, I love Milei.
What does Afuerte mean? Is that gone?
Out of here.
Out of here.
Gone, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, same thing.
Afuerte. Also a story from Woke Spy. It's an unconfirmed story. I admit that right up front. But Woke Spy has a story that says there are Pentagon officials reportedly discussing how to respond to directives from President Trump, according to a new report by CNN. How about this? Here's how you respond to the commander-in-chief. Yes, sir, three bags full. That's all you you salute smartly and move out and draw fire. That's what you do. We need to figure out how best to respond to this. You friggin' respond to it and do it. Well, what are they worried about? Well, according to they're gaming out scenarios about how they might respond if Trump wants to use the military to assist with deportations. Okay. They're also really, really worried about Schedule F. What is Schedule F? Schedule F is when Trump can convert civil servants to at-will employees and dismiss them based on performance. No. You mean like the private sector does? Like do your job right or lose your job? Yeah. That's unheard of. Well, that's what we're looking at right now. Now, let me talk about just a few minutes here about what I think is going to happen. Three things. Okay, several things. Number one, I think the wokeness goes. I think there's going to be a wokeness just like purge. I think you're going to see DEI in the military gone. I think you're going to see gender studies in the military academies gone. I think you're going to see pronouns in the military gone. I think you're going to see transgenderism surgeries being paid for by the military gone. That's going away. I think you're also going to see questions about standards for females in combat. I think you're going to see it. Brace yourselves. It's going to happen. There needs to be a hard discussion about it. There should. And then I think you're going to see some other things. I think you'll see a foreign policy that is far more cohesive and based on dime, like I said earlier. And then you're going to see this. Peace through strength is also not just what we do with our military. Peace through strength is also about who we are as a nation. And reindustrialization is part of national security, believe it or not. If we can, and this is, and it, some people call it economic nationalism, whatever. What it basically means is we don't outsource everything we need to other countries that don't like us. We don't have all of our energy needs based in places like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. We don't have all of our semiconductors based in places like Taiwan, which is on the chopping block for China. We don't base our entire industrial strength upon things that we can't get to if things go bad. We begin to reindustrialize America. Think about it. It's the industrial might of Alabama, excuse me, of America, and the soldiers of America that won World War II. The soldiers could not have done what they did if we did not put the beans and bullets in their hands. Building the planes, building the tanks, rolling things out, peace through strength. Peace through strength is not just a military, which will be stronger, because you'll have recruiting going up, you'll have wokeness being gone, you'll have a focus on being warfighters. You'll make people proud to put on that uniform on a daily basis and not question whether they're being used as a social experiment. At the same time, you will also have a foreign policy that makes sense and says America first, and people will have to negotiate with that. And then lastly, peace through strength, I would say, is going to include a reindustrialization of America in such a way that not just profits us as a nation and as a people, but also puts us in a position to not rely upon other nations for the things that make us strong. So yeah, peace through strength. I'm looking forward to it. Do you feel like we have it right now? I don't. I'll tell you right now, we don't.
Can I just add to before we change topics about Biden allowing Ukraine to use U.S. weapons? And it drives me nuts that you can't be critical of how the United States has handled this without being a pro-Putin sympathizer or a Russian asset. And it drives me nuts because it's been a deliberate provocation of Russia of, you know, poking the bear constantly when peace has been on the table multiple times, even when there was a peace agreement early on in the war. And then the United States sends Boris Johnson to go shoot it down and say, you guys need to be brave and you need to, you know, go to the front lines. We got your back. And meanwhile, all the Ukrainian generations are getting slaughtered right now. And it was completely unnecessary. And any sort of criticism of that and the blank check that's bankrupting our country is shot down. And we have neocons, I mean, who are obsessed with war and going against Russia. And because it's the same people who are funding the war who actually have the contract to rebuild Ukraine, which, you know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But all of that to be said, it just drives me nuts that peace is not an option for the United States right now. And it's completely off the table.
Not under the lack of foreign policy that we have.
Nope.
Not at all. And I completely agree. So I would not consider myself to be an isolationist by any stretch. I believe if there's a place we have to go, we go there. If there's a national interest at stake, we go and fix it. If there's an ally at risk, we go and we protect them. But right now, no one knows what the plan is in Ukraine except a checkbook. That's all we've got. Take me to a break, brother. Take me to a break right now, right this very second. We're going to come back and we're going to switch gears. We're going to lighten the mood. We're going to talk about the Trump victory dance. And then coming up bottom of the hour, Wesley Britt's going to call in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing here today. Hey, coming up here at the bottom of the hour, we'll come back for the next break, and Wesley Britt will be on the line. If you know, I mean, everybody's familiar with U.S. Senator Katie Britt, but did you know her husband was an All-American offensive lineman for Alabama and then went on to play for a number of years in the NFL for the New England Patriots? We're going to talk with him about what my next topic is about. So this next dipper, I'm switching gears now. Let's lighten the mood, shall we? Although to lighten the mood, I got to remind you of where we've been. The victory dance, the Trump happy dance, I call it. The Trump happy dance is sweeping the world right now. But it's not been so long ago that we actually had American athletes that we were not even cheering for anymore because they were so hateful towards the very nation whose flag they were supposed to be representing. Case in point, I'm going to say a name. Brace yourselves, Megan Rapinoe. Purple-haired LGBTQ abortion rights activist Megan Rapinoe. I don't know why she was allowed to be the team captain for the U.S. women's national soccer team for so long, but she was. I don't know if you remember this or not. In fact, not everybody follows soccer, and I get it, much less women's soccer. But here's the thing. Last August, August of 23, we had something that I have never seen before. We had the women's national soccer team participating in the Women's World Cup, and Americans were actually rooting against them. Why? They're our team. Why would we do that? Because they hated us. Now, there were members of the team who didn't, by the way. There were some who pushed back. But Megan Rapinoe, first of all, she's an activist, and she's also a bully. And she was literally forcing members of her team to kneel at the national anthem and to talk down about the country whose flag they were representing around the world. It was sick. So I got a piece here from TheHill.com, dated August 8th of 2023. The U.S. women's national team made a historically early exit from the Women's World Cup Championship with a loss to Sweden. They did, and one of the first rounds. They lost to Sweden. Everybody's like, what? I thought we were the best team in the world. Yep, didn't work out that way. It was Megan Rapinoe herself who missed a penalty kick, I believe, and caused the game. But immediately, people began talking online about, good, I'm glad they're done. Can't stand them anyway. They don't represent us. They're woke. They're anti-American. Megyn Kelly came out on her own show and said she was thrilled they had lost. She said, I'm glad you went down. You don't support America, I don't support you, and I know I'm not alone. The Daily Caller said things about it, talking about how hilarious it was they got eliminated in a sweet, sweet poetic justice. Blaze TV came out and said they were glad the team had lost. A piece by Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch himself? Oh, I'm sorry. The New York Post, owned by Rupert Murdoch, had an opinion piece that said, don't cry from Megan Rapinoe. British tabloid personality Piers Morgan, he came out and referred to them as a bunch of unpatriotic losers and activist prima donnas. Sean Hannity said, or blasted them on his show, with other right-wing commentators weighing in. It just went on and on and on and on and on and on. Why would it get that way? Because they hated America. Because they could not, for the life of them, understand that when you go around the world to represent the United States of America, we actually want you to care about America. Well, what we're seeing right now is just the opposite. That's women's soccer last year. How about men's soccer this year? I got a piece here from Fox, Dateline yesterday. U.S. men's soccer star Christian Pulisic put a ball into the back of the net and then immediately got into the dance craze, sweeping the sports world. Playing Jamaica in a Nations League matchup, it says he ran to the corner of the field to celebrate and immediately started doing the Donald Trump happy dance. By the way, it's not just that. I've got examples from football fields, from soccer fields, from golf tournaments, from MMA fights. This happy dance is breaking out everywhere. Why do you think that is? Maybe people are feeling optimistic about where we're headed. Coming up next, Wesley Britt. We'll get him on the air and just get his thoughts. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, Alabama. I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, listen, we started a new topic right before the break. I'm talking about the victory dance. I've been calling it the Trump happy dance. It's amazing to see the change of mood among athletes where we got so just worn out with the, you know, people who were kneeling at the anthem and complaining about the very country that was making them rich and famous. And now it just seems like we got this different level of optimism. Well, I'm going to bring somebody on now who has had had an amazing career himself. Everybody knows U.S. Senator Katie Britt, who has come on the show multiple times. Her husband, Wesley Britt, is also an amazing guy himself. Wesley Britt, by the way, is a former offensive lineman for the Alabama Crimson Tide, third team All-American, first team All-SEC, taken in the fifth round of the NFL draft, spent his time with the New England Patriots largely, and he's on the phone right now. Wesley Britt, how are you doing?
Doing great, Phil. This is doing incredible. I mean, this is a new day in America right now. It's a sense of relief and optimism, and I think you're seeing that in the reflection in sports. I mean, we're seeing the dance, the Trump dance, the celebration in sports and football,
yeah,
golf,
yeah,
UFC, all across the table, even in soccer and golf.
MMA, and what is going on?
I know, but you're also seeing it in construction. You're seeing it with developers. You're seeing it at factories. You're seeing it everywhere. People have hope. We've all known that there's a change, and now people are breathing a sigh of relief, and not only is making America great, it's making America fun again. Which is nice to be able to have fun.
Can we? And you know what? There's a hat. We need a hat that says "Make America Fun Again." I think that would be a hoot to have that.
And for so long we were criticized if you tried to have fun.
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything. You had to walk around with eggshells.
What also got me too, man, was in the sports world, which, by the way, the idea of being able to play at the level of sports where you have is not just cool to do. It's also an honor, really. The fact that
we have a country
that supports that level of athletic ability and payment to the athletes for what they do. And yet we had so many of them for a while there kneeling at the anthem, complaining about who we are as a nation, talking about it, systemic racism and all these things that I believe don't exist. And you were already out of the NFL when all that kneeling at the flag started, right?
Yeah, so I was just out, which made it really odd for me because my experience in the NFL playing the New England Patriots, San Diego, was totally different. It was an experience where, for one, Donald Trump was one of the few people that came into our locker room.
Oh, wow.
Being friends with Mr. Kraft. He was there often at the games. President Trump would come to our games, and maybe Ozzy Osbourne were the only people outside the team that I remember coming in the locker room pregame.
That's a mixed bag.
It really is. But we would weekly send boxes of goods and socks and, or, you know, a whole litany of things and a lot of Copenhagen to our warriors in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
We would send care packages all the time. We would have fundraisers. It's a very patriotic environment from the time I came to the NFL in 2005 to the time I left in 2009. And it changed really weird. We got into a weird time as a country. And for me, when the Pledge of Allegiance is being played, or the national anthem in this case, is being played, you stand in reverence. You think about the men and women who are serving overseas, that are fighting for our country so we can play a sport for a living. I mean, is that not crazy? Like, and we think about you and your service, Phil. Thank you for your service. And without that, without my grandfather in World War II, my other grandfather in the Korean War, my grandfather lied about his age to go fight the Japanese in World War II. And he did that because his love for country, and it was the honor of his life, and he always looked favorably about that. But because of men and women that are willing or do give the ultimate sacrifice for our country, that's the only reason we can play a sport for a living. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that didn't sit well. But today it's a new day, and now people are having fun.
Yeah.
People are having fun, and it's across the board, and it's nice. It's refreshing.
It is refreshing. You know, it's almost like it's allowing – something about this is like allowing sports to be what it was always intended to be. It's a great escape for people in the fan base. It's an opportunity that some kids would never have otherwise in the ranks of the athletes. It's like you look at it, you know, you always hear the old thing about, you know, America's pastime, baseball, or, you know, the National Football League, and you think about these things as having flags waving over the stadiums. And for a while there, it's almost as if we weren't allowed to have that level of fun. I think you nailed it.
Right.
Well,
you're exactly right. But we're back now. We're back now, and that's good for our country, and it's good for everybody, regardless of your station in life. It represents an opportunity where if you work hard. And you keep your nose clean, you can achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve in America, and that's the promise. It's the promise of of opportunity, not a promise of results.
You know what's crazy too, man? This Trump dance, this Trump victory dance, which is like a little symbol of the bigger picture, is actually going worldwide. I've got an article here, believe it or not, from the Times of India. Times of India, in my hand, talking about there's a video going viral where a Chinese groom, now China probably doesn't appreciate the Trump dance, but a Chinese groom goes into his wedding and then jumps into the Trump dance right there before he does the wedding.
And, you know, he was censored.
Yeah, he may have disappeared the next day. I don't know.
Yeah, right. I bet we don't have a quote from him.
No, we have a video. We have proof of life for a minute. Now we don't know where he is. But
now we don't know where he is.
But, you know, I even saw, too, that Nick Bosa, who plays for the 49ers, and also Baker Mayfield for the Buccaneers, that they were both doing the dance. I mean, it's just like
Calvin
it's
Ridley.
Oh, well.
Calvin Ridley from the Titans that played at Alabama.
That's too funny.
Yeah, so that was it was great seeing him doing our Alabama guys doing the Trump dance. The Detroit, you see the Detroit Lions, that was one of my favorites because first they did the golf swing, the hole in one,
yes,
and then went to the dance.
Yeah, absolutely.
That one was one of my favorites.
Well, the whole thing is just funny, and I'm watching too. What's also interesting to me is watching athletes who are apparently not fazed anymore by not having to bow down to the woke agenda. I mean, like they're like saying, you know, I was for Trump already before you told me that I was even allowed to be for Trump. I mean, it was, and then you got
but
retired.
You know,
go ahead.
And I think that's something we forget too, because because we get caught up in it. Looking back, man, we weren't thinking about politics in the locker room, the New England Patriots, Alabama, San Diego. We're thinking about playing football. And, you know, and some of that stuff, and a lot of the stuff you do, I started to learn more about politics to impress a girl, like most of the decisions we make at a younger age. I mean, my family, people are trying to put food on the table.
Yeah.
Put food on the table and have a good time and be good at their craft and now have fun with it. I don't think there's a lot of conversation. Unless it changed drastically after I left, there wasn't political conversations very often in the locker rooms. I mean, every now and then there would be something, but not much. But it's good to see people just having fun again, and for that to be, and for people to be involved, it's just refreshing.
Well, it is. And listen, man, we got about a couple minutes left here before we go, but I got to ask you. You said Trump came in the locker room. What memories do you have of Trump way back before he was political Trump in the locker room? Did you have any conversations with him, or what you saw?
Oh yeah, it's a very high level. You know, he would walk around just talking, you know, about golf or whatever it was at the time. But you know, when you have a group of athletes, there's very few people, especially professional athletes, that are at the top of their class. You're talking about Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Teddy Bruschi, Junior Seau, Mike Vrabels. I mean, some of the best well-known names in all sports and maybe in the country. And whenever he walks in the room, people notice. He has that air and presence about him. People noticed and always were so grateful for him participating. I mean, he's been a celebrity superstar and a very influential figure for a long, long time. Has always been fighting for this country in one manner, whether that's professionally, in his previous private sector, or now, when he put that up and gave that up to run for public service and serve the United States of America as president.
Well,
it was neat. It was a cool experience.
Well, and I bet it was, and I bet it's really something to. I say this in general for all of us. It's really something right now to watch how, as his administration comes together, and as you know, the House and the Senate are now in the place that they are, that we're looking at the opportunity to get some things done. But what I really see more than anything, you can almost feel it in the air, is that tangible sense that we're going to be able to feel better about what we do.
We can go out and work hard, do what's right, and achieve and accomplish goals. I think that's what we've got. I think that will help us with so many of our issues as a country, from to having direction and purpose is going to help a lot.
All that and make America fun again.
Let's go. Make it fun.
Wesley Britt, man, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and thanks for that, and thank you for who you are.
Thank you, Phil. All right. We'll talk soon.
See you, man. Good call. That's just fun. And it's also, by the way, it's amazing. If you've ever been around Wesley, the guy is 6'9", 6'8", 300 pounds, and just the nicest, most calm personality of anybody you've ever been around.
And it's really funny to see pictures of him and Katie, his wife, next to each other.
She comes up to like his midsection.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come right back. I'll tell you some more about this this Trump happy dance, man. It's everywhere. It's around the world. It's and you know what? I think we may have coined a new phrase, or maybe Wesley did. Make America fun again. I'm loving it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I wish I'd named the Dipper that. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making America fun again. How about that? That needs to be like on, we got to have a hat or something.
Like what RFK made the hats for, Make America Healthy Again.
Yes.
And Make America Fun Again.
MAFA.
MAFA.
I'm for it. Hey, we got an audio clip, but I'm going to call for audio clip number one. It's the Brett Favre. Have you got that one cued? So we're in this Dipper right now. Talk about the victory dance. So you just had Wesley Britt calling in, former NFL football player, all SEC, all American at Alabama. And just talked about, you know, in fact, he coined the phrase. He was the one that said it first, right? Make America fun again. Did he say that, or did I say it?
He said it first.
Yeah, got it.
That was one of the first things he said when he came on. I'm glad America's fun again.
Now I got to give him credit. But anyway, good on you, Wesley. But I got an interview here that Brett Favre did, I believe on Fox News. Yes, Fox News. Brett Favre talking about, with Laura Ingraham, I believe it is, about the very thing that is happening that we're talking about, this Trump victory dance. There's even talk right now, by the way, that the NFL may sanction players for doing this. Go figure. But you got that clip ready? Go ahead and play it.
Do you think the NFL should be cracking down on players doing the little Trump dance in the end zone? Because some believe they are.
I think back over the years, I mean, the Icky Shuffle. I don't know if you remember that. Icky Woods with the Cincinnati Bengals had the Icky Shuffle. And I could go on and on. I don't remember anyone being fined or threatened for doing that, or some of the other, the sack dance, or you name it. I don't remember that being an issue other than, look, that's the Icky Shuffle. That's pretty cool. So I find it hard to believe that the NFL would crack down on this Trump dance. I really do.
Well, we'll see.
Well,
I would hope that they would.
It looks like people are just having some fun, and I think, why not have a little fun? You know, like you can take a knee. Colin Kaepernick took the knee, and everyone had to support that, or a lot of people did, and that was all celebrated. But, you know, doing a little dance, somehow you cancel his post-game availability.
How threatening to us, that little dance, some may say. But I think, like with John Jones, that was a very just powerful moment with he and President Trump, the baddest man arguably on the planet, who came over and showed the respect to President Trump, I think says a lot about where we are in this country right now.
Go ahead, stop it there. That's a great little clip interview. It's part of a larger interview that he did on similar to what the discussion we had with Wesley Britt a minute ago, just about the fact that there is a different sense of optimism right now. And so as we talk about this, and it's fun to talk about this Trump dance, keep in mind that what that really is, it's a visual reminder of what people are happy about. It's a visual reminder of the election bringing a different sense of where we are. It's a visual reminder that it's okay to like somebody who was elected on the right side of politics. That it's okay to actually like the guy who you were told to hate. And oh, by the way, while we're at it, ain't it fun to be an American? I mean, I'm digging this. And I do have that piece from the Times of India that I mentioned a minute ago with Wesley on the phone. There's literally this Chinese groom enters a ceremony and performs the drum dance. Times of India talking about it. It's all over the world. I'm looking at right now on social media. By the way, you can follow me at Sen Phil Williams. It's S-E-N at Sen Phil Williams. You can also follow Rightside at Rightside underscore media, both on X or Twitter. And we're seeing a lot of y'all, by the way, are watching it on, we're watching the show today live streaming on Twitter. Thank you very much. You can see us on YouTube. You can see us on X. You can see us on Twitch. You can see us on the website.
Rumble. Also, we are 40 subscribers away on YouTube from 600. So
wow, that just happened.
Let's keep it going. Yeah.
All right, keep it going, y'all. But anyway, I'm watching right now. I pulled up a thread. It just happened. This thing is viral. Here's the Barnsley Football Club versus Cambridge United in England. And Barnsley, as they score the goal, the players go over in the corner and start doing the Trump dance in England. I'm looking at college football players right here. I'm looking at Charlie Hall. She's a LPGA golfer doing the Trump dance. Brock Bowers and other NFL players. Piece here on the AP. Raiders tight end Brock Bowers. Titans wide receiver Calvin Ridley. Lions defensive end Za'Darius Smith. All followed Nick Bosa's lead and celebrated big plays on Sunday with dance moves inspired by Donald Trump. Bowers had 13 catches for 126 yards, touchdown, 34-19 loss at Miami, but then he shook his arms, swayed his hips like Trump after he caught one and ran it in for a TD. Look, I'm seeing this everywhere, but one of the ones that was probably the most significant, and it'll be after the break before I can wrap this up, but one of the ones that is the most significant, and text me what you think about this, by the way. What do you think about the Trump dance on a scale like we're seeing it right now? Give me your thoughts. One of the ones that is the most significant is what happened in Madison Square Garden the other night. And when we get back from this break, I'll wrap this whole section by talking about that one. But yeah, listen, this is not a small thing, y'all. This is like a complete repudiation of people like, oh, I don't know, LeBron James and Megan Rapinoe and Colin Kaepernick, all telling us that sports is about hating America and you better take a knee. And I'm saying, by God, no. We're going to make America fun again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hour number three coming up. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three here on a very rainy Taco Tuesday. I don't know about y'all, but my yard was getting crispy. So I'm glad to have the rain, but we have just gone from feast to famine on the rain. I mean, it's like nonstop.
It has rained all day.
Lord.
Starting like 11 o'clock last night.
Buckets of rain have been just coming down, cascading. But it does make the golf course look nice and lush out there, doesn't it?
Yeah, I noticed them looking, seeing some brown spots appear on the golf course. I think they need the rain very
can't
much, too.
No, can't
have cannot
that.
Have that.
Cannot have that. Yeah, we have the beautiful view of a golf course right outside the windows of the second story where we sit in the beautiful Right Side Studios. But it also means that we get to watch people who apparently don't have to work playing golf in the middle of the day.
I wonder that too.
Whenever like, what the heck?
Whenever I see a group of like six guys, I'm like, do y'all not have jobs?
You're just like, I don't know what you do for a living, but apparently it's not the same as me.
Yeah.
There's been more than once I've been looked out the window and, you know, here I'm an attorney. I'll look at because my law firm's in the same building. I'll look out the window and there's one of the judges out there. I'm like, hey, could you go do that order I've been waiting on?
That's funny.
All right, hour number three here. I got a few text messages. Let me clean them up, and then I'll go back to our topic at hand. Kareem from Huntsville texted in earlier. This is dating back to, I think, the previous topic. I'm guessing he's talking about when I was discussing the Pentagon being worried about whether we're going to have to be a part of the deportations. And he says, are we going to hear I was just following orders? Yeah. You know, Kareem, if they were following orders, then what's your point? I guess what he's saying is that's what too often people said in the wake of Nazi Germany. And if you're trying to liken the idea of illegal aliens being sent back to where they came, as opposed to Jews who were citizens of their own nation being, you know, genocidally exterminated, kind of two different things, dude. Don't conflate. It never works out for you. Jerry from Decatur says, As they say, we are only as strong as the weakest link of the chain of command. If the last link fails, this country is in trouble. Airborne. Jerry, airborne to you. Tim from Decatur said, we call the Trump dance the Donald. We're doing the Donald. Wow, that's okay. Doing the Donald. Thomas Mathen says, MAFA, make America fun again. Also, MARA, make America religious again. He said, USA has a ways to go. Regarding football, college, and NFL, there are a lot of players giving glory to God by pointing skyward or making signs of the cross after a great play. Plus, after-game interviews of players giving him glory and praise, not to mention college players kneeling to pray in the corner of the end zone before a game. Auburn football players set that meme big time. Thomas, thank you. And it's true. And I love seeing that. Missy from Falkville says the Trump dance is awesome. It also proves the lovely Charlene was right all along. There are more of us than there are of them. Thank you, Missy. Thank you very much. Calling out the lovely Charlene, indeed. And then John from Huntsville says the Trump dance is awesome, but I really wish my favorite TV fisherman Bill Dance could have been Trump's running mate because the top of the ticket would have been Trump dance. Jeez. Oh, boy. That's like a dad joke. Just like bar none. Hey, so let me wrap this up. The Trump dance. So probably one of the most epic moments, and there's been a bunch of them. I mean, we got players of every sport. We got college level. We've got Olympians. We've got, you know, internationals. But there's a guy named John Jones, who I'm not super familiar with, who's an MMA fighter. He's actually, is it UFC, I guess? Is what he was fighting in, the UFC heavyweight champion John Jones. So if you didn't see it, Trump went to Madison Square Garden the other night. And he was there, like, with his crew, his Rat Pack. The Trump Rat Pack was hanging out ringside. You had Dana White. Of course, Joe Rogan was there. They hugged necks. You had, Tulsi Gabbard. You had Speaker of the House. You had Elon Musk was there.
RFK.
RFK was there.
Vivek was there.
Vivek was there, too?
Mm-hmm.
The crew, the Rat Pack.
Yeah.
But before I talk about him a little bit, oh, and Kid Rock was hanging with him?
Yeah, that's true. Kid Rock was there, too.
Kid Rock, what's he going to be secretary of? What's he going to do in the cabinet?
Make him the fun department.
There you go. It's the MAFA department.
Yeah.
He would be a hoot.
Yeah, he would.
All right, so I got to ask you, because you're an MMA guy.
Yeah.
Some of y'all don't know. JP is actually an MMA guy himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had two MMA fights last year. Yeah.
That's two more than I've had.
Yeah.
I did survive the worm pit at Ranger School hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah. Now, I always think about training again, but then I'm like, I'm going to get the itch to want to fight again, and I don't want to. I can't just do it. I got to go all in when I do it. So that's
a problem. But you like to watch it and follow it, too.
Oh, so. Yeah. I'm a big-time MMA fan, yeah.
So John Jones, he's legit.
He's the greatest MMA fighter of all time, actually.
Really?
He's the Michael Jordan of MMA.
Really?
He just got his so this past weekend was his 16th championship, his 16th UFC championship, which is the record. Always had the record, but he just extended that. But yeah, he is widely regarded as the greatest of all time.
No kid.
Undefeated, yep.
You know, what's his style?
You know, he's so good because he's mixed. He's a great wrestler, great striker. I mean, he's the best at everything, really. So that's why he's the greatest of all time. Yeah.
You know, you look at him, he looks fit, but he does not look like crazy fit. He doesn't look like he's all ripped and, you know, and he's obviously getting on in years for MMA.
Yeah, he's 36. Yeah.
Which is actually old.
Yeah. And it's actually impressive that he came back because this fight had to get extended a year because during training he tore his pec from his shoulder. So someone from that age with a major injury like that to come back and just dominate like he did. He actually beat the greatest heavyweight of all time in UFC, widely regarded, Stipe Miocic. So it was the GOAT versus the heavyweight GOAT, and it was great. It was fun. But
so he's not a heavyweight himself?
This was his second fight at heavyweight. So his first fight at heavyweight, he won the belt. And this was his first time defending the belt. He was the light heavyweight champion for 10 years and then decided to move up to heavyweight.
Okay.
So.
Wow. All right. So I did not see the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was pay-per-view. But I did see the aftermath, the discussion. I'll get to that in a minute. But one of the things that really struck me is he makes no bones about being a Christian.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he's legit. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, and I wish everybody here knew Jesus.
I mean, John Jones has had issues in the past that anybody who pays attention to MMA is well known about, but he's very open about, you know, his shortcomings and how he's a Christian. He's got Philippians 4:13 tattooed on his chest. He's very open about being a Christian, even with his shortcomings and issues he's had. He's never denounced Christ and always been one to say he's trying to learn from his mistakes and he's glad that he's forgiven by Christ. So, yeah, he's very much an open Christian.
Wow. Well, not only is he apparently the GOAT, but at the end. So here's the thing. This, why am I bringing all this up? I've got an article right here that talks about it, Chicago Tribune. Chicago Tribune, the latest end zone celebration sweeping the nation is the Trump dance, made popular by, even more popular by, John Jones the other night. So some folks are saying that John Jones doing this at the end of his, like he looked over, saw Trump, and he actually started doing the Trump dance to Donald Trump himself, who was sitting ringside and pointed at him and gave him the thumbs up. And,
And then he gave him the belt.
Yeah, then he climbed. Then he climbed over the cage and gave him the belt and actually talked to him for a minute and and basically was, I don't want to say it like he was doing something wrong. He wasn't kowtowing, but he was deferential to the fact that this is the future president of the United States, and thanking him basically, and sort of almost like honoring the moment by doing the Trump dance.
Yeah,
the Trump happy dance.
Yeah, and John Jones wasn't the only one, by the way. Every single UFC fighter while Trump was there was they acknowledged Trump, went over to him. The UFC, I feel like every fighter is a conservative in there, it seems like. So yeah.
Well, you know, and then it's part of the culture in a sense, because I mean, look at this. You got Joe Rogan, who's not been a known conservative, but wound up coming out as a Trump fan.
And not only that.
And then Dana White.
A big liberal, Joe Rogan was. So yeah. The fact that he endorsed Trump, it sends a message.
But Dana White has been a Trump guy all along. Mm. I mean, like Dana White has been in the Trump camp, a Trump advocate, a Trump surrogate for a number of years. And so MMA has got sort of the it's okay to like Trump stamp all over it. Mm-hmm. But I'm loving the fact that the Trump happy dance went the way it did at the end of apparently a great MMA fight. How far did they go into it? Was it a quick fight or was
it was either the second or the third. John Jones won with a spinning back kick to Stipe's ribs. He actually broke his ribs and lacerated his kidney and Stipe pretty much fell after that kick and it was over from there. But yeah, it was fun. I think it was three rounds.
Lacerated his kidney.
Broke his ribs, yeah. You knew it right away because right when he ate the cake, he just dropped, fell down. And
right when, God.
Yeah.
Okay. All that and a Trump happy dance too.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot going on in the world right now, but I'm loving the fact that we can look at things and say, you know what? There's a different sense of optimism, and there just is. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say, continue to pray. Do not take this for granted. Do not say we're there. Don't listen. Enjoy what we've got, but recognize that they don't want us to have it. And when I say that, I mean it with all sincerity. There is a evil on the left that does not want the optimism that we're seeing. And so I'm just saying, relish it. Be thankful for it. Do the Trump happy dance yourself. Never take it for granted. Never, ever, ever take it for granted. I did my most recent podcast, which comes out Wednesday. It'll probably come out Wednesday night, actually, this time. But my most recent podcast, I talked about the last 4 years, and I said that while we should not walk around like with a grudge or a chip on our shoulder, that we should also never forget what we've been through the last 4 years with culture being just thrown down. And now we're going to restore it. Do the Trump happy dance, but don't take it for granted. And by the way, make America fun again. All right, take me to a break, brother. We'll come back. We'll clean up some text messages and start moving into the last dipper of the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so we are pushing close to the final half hour, and I got to tell you, the text messages have been something, and so has been, by the way, the amount of people watching us online. Appreciate that. Listen, there's a lot of things you can so let me back up. Let me do this. Right Side Media is the company. You guys are listening to Right Side Radio. That's one of our productions. So Right Side Media is the parent company. Right Side Media, we have podcasts, video podcasts. We have the written word that gets published in papers all over the region every week. There's a lot of stuff we do here. Our goal at Right Side is, I call it the mission and the message. So here's the thing. Every single week, I want to go on the air talking to you amazing people in our audience with what I call the mission and the message. And the mission is that every single day we do the four E's. I'm just telling you from the heart here. No notes. I'm just telling you. Four E's. We're going to educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to walk around as a Christian in today's world, as a conservative, as somebody who has principles. How do you have that water cooler conversation? If somebody asks you the question, how do you explain it? Well, we're going to do everything we can to equip you for that. Educate, enlighten, empower, entertain you. That's the mission. The mission's driven by the message. The message that drives that mission is Jesus is Lord, America is great, Alabama is beautiful, and oh, by the way, life is worth living. Those things right there are the reason why we've been on the air for 3.5 years, and y'all have helped us just kill it in the ratings. And we're going to keep growing. So you want more of this stuff? Well, we're out there. We got all kinds. You can find our website, rightsidemedia.org. Rightsidemedia.org's got everything on it. It's got our live stream, which can also be found on Rumble and Twitch and on X and on my personal Twitter feed at @SinPhilWilliams. A bunch of y'all are watching it in all those places right now. We print YouTube. Mm-hmm. But also, we've got things on our website, like you can find access to our video podcast, which, by the way, wait for it. There's announcements coming. And then we've got other things that are happening. Like, for instance, if you want to get a daily thing called the Right Side Report, come to your inbox. It gives you insights as to what we got going on, what the latest podcasts are, gives you the heads up on the Triple Dipper for the radio show every day, along with the resources to go with it. You can get that Right Side Report every day in your inbox. Just do this. Text. I didn't mean to get off on all this, but I'm doing it right now. Just go to 833-68-RIGHT. That's our phone number, 833-68-RIGHT, and text the word newsletter. And you will get a link to sign up for the Right Side Report newsletter. Gives you all our stuff. All right, let me jump into Dipper numero tres. So I called this one Transmania because, well, that's what it is. Transmania. There is a side of the Democrat Party that is so far progressive left that they've forgotten reality. Think about that. So far to the left that they don't even know how to accept scientific fact. Well, Phil, you do that about climate change. No, no, no. That's called theory. I'm talking about scientific fact. Scientific fact. Like, I don't know, how about biology? Like, you can't change it. You're born. You're male, you're female. That's what DNA codes you as, period, male, female. It is not fluid. You cannot be non-binary because that's like saying, I am nothing. Oh, yeah, you're something. You just don't want to admit it. Well, today I am a woman. No, no, actually you're not because you got parts that say that you're a man. I identify, I don't care what your mind says. The physical world is where we're talking right now, and you cannot foist your truth on us. Well, it's weird. Now, listen, it's also a mental illness. And when we get back, I'm going to talk about this, and I'm going to be very candid with you. If you have members of your family who struggle with this, I am not designing this to be an offensive segment, but I will just tell you that it is not healthy, and it is not a sign of wellness for someone to say, I would like to have parts of me cut off, and then pretend that I'm not who I said I was, and then change my name, and then be different than what I was born as. There's nothing healthy about that. It's not. In fact, it's weird. It's also, it's something that deserves prayerful support, but not like in the affirming sense that they want. We need to be able to love some folks back into health, and giving them surgeries and drugs is not the way to do it. So we're going to take a break right now, but we come right back from that. I'm going to jump into this section on Transmania, but I'm going to start off by talking about it from the political side, because even the Democrats recognize, oh, Lord, we let that drive the train so much that we just blew the elections because, in their own words, we got weird. We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, the one I'm sitting in, the one I'm talking about, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. So, by the way, that bump, Sweet Child of Mine, by Guns N' Roses, my mom, texted me one day, goes, I love that bump music. What song is that? I said, I don't think you'll like it. She's like, no, I want to know. And I said, okay, it's by a band called Guns N' Roses. And she went and found the song on her Spotify or something. 80-year-old mom went to Spotify and found the song and came back and said, it was fine until I heard Axl Rose's voice. Until I heard his voice, and I thought, nope, I don't like it.
Yeah, no. When I was a kid, I was big into Axl Rose, where I would take my sister's Hannah Montana wig and act like I'm Guns N' Roses. <You're>... Which my brothers and my family love to remind me of.
your sister's Hannah Montana wig.
Yep, and okay. I would.
Yeah. John from Huntsville wants to know, by the way, do I ever see you out there on the golf course practicing your putting skills?
No. I have not tried out that golf course yet. It's a private clubhouse or a country club, so yeah. But I'd love to.
Flip from Decatur says, John Jones was my favorite Trump dance. He took Trump championship belt when he won. Yeah, he did. That was very cool. Glenn from Bluntsville says, make America fun again. I want to see comedians be able to tell jokes and not worry about being canceled. Indeed. I want to see more people do like Dave Chappelle and go, whatever. Did you ever see an interview with Tucker Carlson and Kid Rock?
I've seen clips of it, yes.
It was an amazing interview, but one of the things he said was, I think Tucker asked him a question, something along the lines of, you say these kinds of things, aren't you ever worried about, you know, cancel culture and that kind of stuff? And he said, he basically looked at him like he was crazy and said, nobody can blanking cancel me.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, I mean, Dana White, too, one of them we talked about earlier, is uncancelable. Yeah, you know, he got hammered during COVID for not halting, you know, the fights and stuff. And it just shows if you don't give them the power by caring about being canceled, they can't really cancel you.
That's exactly right. Cancel culture is in part something you receive as much as they give. Grandma Wanda says, anyone see any coverage of the G20 summit? I did see some of that, and I did see where Biden actually missed the group picture. That was weird. Grandma Wanda, good to hear from you. Mike from Florence says, Kid Rock for ATF. Put Kid Rock in charge of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. It'll be making America blow up stuff again. That's just awesome. Champ from Decatur says, Kid Rock's going to be nominated to head the liquor cabinet. Sweet. John C. from Madison said, I heard that a couple of blue state governors will not allow their National Guard to get called up for deportation duty. Do you think Trump would federalize them to have it done? Well, Trump can't use them unless they federalize. So if the states put them to work, they're in Title 32 status under the U.S. Code. If the president calls them up, which he has the authority to do, if he declares a national emergency, he can federalize them, and they're in Title 10, and they no longer answer to the governor. So the governor can't stop them. The governor, I'm not going to allow mine to be used. Well, I got news. If he federalizes them, you don't have much of a choice there, governor. All right, let me move this last dipper forward here in the last half hour before we hit go home time on a rainy Taco Tuesday. I mentioned a minute ago that I was going to talk about transmania. Let me lay the stage with this. I got an article here from the Washington Examiner 3 days ago. It says Democrats are rethinking the weird target they tried to put on Republicans and back. Yeah. It said after voters delivered his party stinging losses, DNC Chairman Jamie Harrison is not expected to seek a second term. Good. Not good for us as Republicans, I guess. But I look at it and go, I'm glad to see somebody's not going to reward failure. I mean, how long did we keep Ronna McDaniel in there? And she was like the nothing burger. Anyway, some DNC members are now calling for a centrist chairman who can make the Democratic Party popular again with voters. Part of their strategy is a rejection of the weirdness. See, there we go. The message they tried to put on Republicans, which appeared to backfire after the GOP made historic gains. here's some quotes just to give you some, like Politico did an article. Phil, did you quote something from Politico? I did. One DNC member, according to Politico, says, I don't want to be the freak show party like they branded us. You know, like when you're a mom with three kids and you live in middle America, you're not really into politics and you see these ads and they scare you. And, you know, Trump's kind of weird or whatever, but you'd rather have his weirdness than theirs. Another DNC member from California allegedly said, I do think there's a whole sentiment that we just went too far out there on identity and allowed Republicans to attack us. You think? And then how about this one? There was an ad that was run by President Trump that wound up being one of the most effective messaging ads. Kamala is for they, them. President Trump is for you. I don't know who came up with that, but that's spot on, one of the best phrases I've heard to sum up the transmania that became part of the weirdness of the progressive left. Now, listen, within that, and I mean it when I say it, this is a transmania. It is a mania. It is something that is going on in the hearts and minds of the people who are deep into it, who believe that their identity now has to be not just something that they think of themselves or are concerned about themselves, the gender dysphoria, but now they want it to physically manifest. Now they believe that if they will just remove parts, if they will just take drugs, I'll be different than what I am. Calling this gender-affirming care is one of the biggest lies I have ever seen perpetrated. It's absolutely heinous to think that you're going to non-confirm someone and call it affirming. And that's what it is. If we're going to talk about transmania, we got to be real that we've got to take back the term affirming, because we should not allow them to even use that term. And so one of the first things I would suggest is that if you're ever stuck in a conversation where someone says, well, you just need to affirm my identity, or I need some gender-affirming care, or we provide gender-affirming care to our patients, I would just go ahead and say that one of your first responses might be, you're not affirming anything. What you're doing is you're non-confirming. You are telling someone that the way they were born is not good enough, that the way God made them is somehow a mistake, that they were born other than what they really are. And so first of all, if I believe that the God of all creation, the God of my salvation, is a perfect God, unerring in all things, then I have to believe he doesn't make mistakes. As surely as he designed the mosquito and the black widow spider, which I still don't understand, he also designed me and you to be the best me and you we could be, and that's a male or a female, and you don't get to just change that. Now, having said that, it's also very true that the only psychosis that I can think of where the healing takes place, allegedly, if other people join in the psychosis, is transgenderism. I mean, think about it. If someone is depressed, suicidal, schizophrenic, bipolar, you're not going to try to join them in their bipolarness. You're not going to try and join them in their depression. You're not going to try and join them in their eating disorder. You're not going to affirm them for having an eating disorder. You're not going to affirm them for having a mental illness of any kind. You're going to do what you can to lovingly move them towards therapies that will get them out of it, not lock them into it. There is no other place that I know of, nowhere else on earth, that we are required to affirm and participate in a mental illness except for transgenderism. And that's the most back-assward things I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. The very idea that that's what the left wants us to do is not affirm that someone was okay when they were born and we shouldn't have to change them, but to tell them that they're wrong, and then tell them that the only way they can fix themselves is to change themselves. Now, having said that, some of the things that are happening out there right now that you might want to be aware of, we got a situation right now. We got a situation going on in Congress. A situation. Phil, pray tell, what do you mean by that? Representative Nancy Mace has now introduced a bill. Nancy Mace, not one known to mince words, she is having none of it, because apparently we just had someone who goes by the name of Sarah McBride from Delaware become the first openly declared transgender member of Congress. Oh, good. Nancy Mace is not sharing her bathroom with a dude. She is making that very clear. So she has now introduced a bill that would force, quote, members, officers, and employees of the House of the Congress, basically, to use the bathrooms that correspond to their biological sex. Yeah. So first of all, now I will say this. Nancy Mace has not been quiet on this topic. She's been the Title IX advocate. She's been supporting things that, you know, that support women in the face of all these transgender attacks. But now we're going to wait and see. I want to know, how does AOC feel if she walks into the restroom in Congress and there's a dude in there? I want to know. I want to know how any number of the uber liberals who work in the halls of Congress, the lawmakers, how did they feel now that they have to see it and deal with it on a daily basis? It's a great question. But right now we have a bill, and the sergeant, it would require the sergeant at arms of the House of Representatives to be in charge of enforcing the prohibition of men being able to use facilities designated for women. I don't know if it'll get passed, but you know what though? I believe the Speaker of the House, who has control over the security of the House, has the ability to actually do this himself. I don't know that for a fact, but I think he does. How about closer to home? Closer to home, Auburn University. Oh my gosh. I am a Auburn fan, by the way. Enjoy being at the game this past weekend. Love the prettiest little town on the plains. Auburn University is seeking to fill, 1819 News has a story, Dateline yesterday. Auburn University is seeking to fill an assistant English professor position in cultural rhetorics with a series of desired qualifications, including expertise in queer and trans rhetoric. What is that? Does anybody know what that means?
I don't even know if they know what that means. I don't think so. I think they're being told to do that.
How do you put that on a resume? How do you feel good about yourself?
I don't know.
Submit your resumes. We're having a open all call for this particular job. Can you please tell us what exactly is queer and trans rhetoric? Oh, well, it's things that I write about queer and trans stuff.
It's
exactly.
It seems like a title for a demotion. Like you're being demoted to the head of queer and trans rhetoric. Oh man.
You just march yourselves over there to the queer and trans rhetoric department. You think about what you've done. It also, by the way, is going to include things like decolonial rhetoric, feminist rhetoric, and more. The minimum requirements are a PhD. This is a doctoral level position. A PhD in English and rhetoric and composition. Somebody out there who's smarter than me, please tell me what rhetoric is supposed to mean, because rhetoric, I thought, was like yelling and raging at the machine. But you've got Auburn is one of many state universities that recently disbanded its office of DEI to comply with state laws. But now they're going to have classes on queer and trans rhetoric. And they're looking for, if you need a job, here's an idea. Would they hire me? I talk about queer and trans rhetoric all the time. Maybe not the way they like.
Or you pull a Matt Walsh and go undercover.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. How would I look with a ponytail?
I don't know.
All right. Take me to a, it's getting weird in here. Go ahead and take me to a break, brother. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. Real quick, and then I'll go to the phones. Dustin from Hillsboro, with regards to that position at Auburn University. He says, I identify as having a PhD in English Lit, and my queen rhetoric is off the chain. About to apply. Brandy from Owens Crossroads says, when translated that position description, it means they want someone that can argue that point. I just don't know why they would want that. I don't either. And I wonder, is there a big need for this? Is there are people going to Auburn going, I really wish I could have a class on trans and queer rhetorics? I don't know. The grades are in real quick. John from Huntsville says, JP and Wesley Britt both get an A double plus for their equally amazing performances. But today's winner is obviously Phil, with an astronomical sized A triple plus for his spectacular Trump happy dance, and more importantly, for simply making radio fun again. Man, I'll take that one. Could you please go ahead and just quote that one and put it on the website or something? I mean, we need
a t-shirt out of that.
We do. Speaking of a guy who knows how to wear a t-shirt, Jeff from Indiana. Hey man, how are you doing?
Well, I was doing pretty good until got to Nashville.
Is it pouring down rain up there where you are?
It's drizzling rain in Crashville, and it's living up to its name.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's been like dumping rain here all day long. I don't know what your driving conditions have been like, but it's been sopping.
Not been bad. It's just been wet. So.
Well, what do you think, man? Are we making America fun again?
Well, sure. I mean, you're doing leaps and bounds by doing your little happy dance there and everything. It gave me a smile.
You know, you just got to laugh. You got to have fun, man. But I do think there's a different sense of optimism. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're even dragging some of the ones that the crazy libs across the line, too. I think they're tired of, you know, just being mad all the time, you know.
Yeah. I think, you know, in fact, I had that article a minute ago. I think that there's people that are literally on the Democratic National Committee saying, can we please stop being weird? Can we please get back to real life? It's going to be interesting to see if they really do.
And that's what it all boils down to. We've had it's like calling someone a racist. It all boils down basically to the participation trophies again. We can't sit there and see something wrong and tell somebody that, you know, this is not right, this is wrong, because we might hurt their feelings, and we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings.
Yeah.
Well, you know, lying to people and having them find out later on that they've been told a lie all their life, that's going to do more than just hurt their feelings. That's going to, you know, stunt their whole, that's going to shock their whole system, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually does. And it also, but what it does is that it's not just their system. It shocks the systems that they live in, their whole family, their community, their work. I mean, it's not like this is something that they just have to deal with on their own, because they want everybody around them to be a part of it with them, and it winds up having an impact on a much broader scope.
It boils down to why people dye their hair blue and throw the nose rings in and all these other weird stuff and weird tattoos and everything. It's for attention. And it's the wrong kind of attention in my book. I mean, you're not making yourself, I guess it's like they say, you know, bad publicity or good publicity, but you're still popular. And it's like you got your name out there and everything, but it's for the wrong reasons, I believe.
Well, more to come, man. But all I know is with about 30 seconds left here, we're going to make America fun again. And you're going to call in and join us in it every day. How about that?
I make you laugh every day.
Yes, you do. All right, brother. Be safe on the road. We'll talk to you.
Have a good one.
See you, man. I think that's the phrase of the day. I love the fact Wesley Britt coined it when he was on. Katie Britt's husband, former NFL player, All-American at Alabama. We talked about the Trump dance, but his response was, it's not just the dance. We're making America fun again. It's like it's okay to enjoy sports. It's okay to have a belief of things that are on the right. And I'm loving it. More of it. More of it. Listen, speaking of more of it, don't forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.